Thank you. Good morning, church. Come on, can I see your hand waving at me? How many of you are really blessed by the worship this morning? Such a presence of God, right? We feel that, you know, we can just go on and go on. And one thing, as I was playing there back, you know, on the bass, I just felt a strong voice of God saying, tell my people this is a season of God's victory that's going to come. Really, as much as the pandemic is real, as much as how the famine is real, God's victory is real as well. Come on, people of God. Can somebody shout amen, please? Victory can come upon your household. Victory can come upon your career. Victory can come upon your relationship. I strongly sense the Lord is saying to the church, tell my people this is a season of God's victory. Come on, people of God. How many of you are excited and you're inside of you are saying, I want that victory to come? You know, if you believe that, shout amen, please. Come on. John chapter 8, verse 36. Here it says that John chapter 8, verse 36. Hold on, yeah. It says, therefore, if the Son sets you free, indeed you are free. John 8, 36, seen on the screen. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And then in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 17, he says, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is or move, there is freedom. Come on, people of God. I just want to tell the church this morning that the Lord, if the Son, Jesus Christ, sets you free, indeed you are free. And whenever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So now today, I feel as I was preparing yesterday, very early in the morning, as I was preparing this, I just sense the Spirit of the Lord, wanting me to tell to the church. Right now, he's saying that I tell my church that I am inviting them to a place where they can walk in the complete freedom. Come on, people of God. Completely being set free in the name of the Lord. Now, we have to come to a point to say that it's enough of going through the cycle of bondage in our life. We need to come to a point and say, enough is enough. It's time to break the cycle of torment and the cycle of fear in our life. The cycle of torment and fear has been gripping the hearts of the people. It's been gripping the church of God. But here we need to come and understand the word of the Lord says that He will set you free. Come on, people of God. Let's break the cycle of torment and fear. Let's break the cycle of bitterness. Let's break the cycle of sin and secret sin. Let's break the cycle of heaviness. Now, most of us, when as you're listening to this, and probably you're saying, but you know, I don't have all these things. I don't have all this bondage. But all of us, we have this thing that we got a spiritual stronghold in our mind. Today, I would like to talk on the subject on breaking stronghold. Come on, people of God. I would like to talk on the subject on breaking strongholds. Turn your neighbor and say, breaking strongholds. How many of you are excited knowing that God, as we sang the song earlier, that I see a victory. How many of you know that victory is already there? Come on, victory is already there. Breakthrough is already there. Miracle is already there. But the problem with you and I is, well, for some reason, in some aspects or some elements of our life, we still have this stronghold of our mindset. And today, the Lord wants to set His people free so that the Holy Spirit can take you higher and deeper so that you can grow in the calling and in the destiny that God has for you. Breaking bondage. And my text will be taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 to verse 5. Can we have it on the screen? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. Now, how many of you are doing good? If you're doing good, just wave your hand. All right? Turn to your neighbor and give them a smile with your eyes, if they're okay. Because you're wearing your mask. So learn to smile with your eyes, all right? Now, this is what 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5 say. All right, stay with me. So he says that for the weapon of our warfare, listen this, for the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Say strongholds. All right, casting down arguments and every high thing, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, here you will find that Paul mentioned the word stronghold. Now, before we get into any further, let's see how did Paul came into this conclusion, or rather, how did Paul make this statement? What caused him to make this statement? Now, back then in Corinth, the people of Corinth have developed this mindset inside of them where Paul named it as stronghold. Why? Because they begin to believe the accusation of the people around them, accusation that they will put on Paul, accusation that they will put on the believer, and the believer has developed this mindset, having this stronghold in their mind, because based on the accusation that the other people will tell who they are. Now, even though they were filled with the Holy Spirit back in Corinth, they were filled in the Holy Spirit, they were a cheerful giver, they were a church, you know, in today's context, we'll consider it as a mega church. There was a very good church, people being added into the church, but they had a serious problem. The serious problem here now, they found themselves being a captive of the stronghold in their mind. Today, likewise, in our setting, in our church, in our life, in our family, the way we do things, sometimes without you realizing, there are certain strongholds in your life that cause you not to move forward. And today, we are going to identify those strongholds, stay with me, and we are going to learn how can we overcome those strongholds so that we can walk under the victory that God has already set for us. Come on, people of God. Now, before we go on any further, we need to understand what is a stronghold. Now, let's stay there, all right? Let's just stay there for a while. Now, when Paul said that you got a stronghold, Paul was addressing this and said, you know, the people of Corinth, you got a stronghold. And oftentimes, you need to understand that this stronghold that Paul was mentioning here is not a war between man and man. Come on, it's not a war. That's why Paul was said, you know, the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, which means that we are not fighting our brothers and sisters. But there's this war that's going on in the spiritual realm. There's this war going on in the angelic realm. Because you need to understand that the devil, the Satan, he have no authority over your life. He has no authority over your family's life. But he was slowly creeping into your mind to cause you to run away from the identity of you are, because when Satan, he knows, when he takes you away from your identity and begin to pollute your mind, begin to accuse you. Oh, come on, somebody, how many of you know the devil is all liars? His mama is a liar, his father is a liar, his puppy is a liar as well, his whole family is a liar. And what he does is he will lie and lie and lie and lie unto you, and you will come to a point, you will develop this stronghold in your mind, and you will believe what he has to say. Turn to your neighbor and say, enough of that. Let's not give in to the works of the devil. Our fight is not against our brothers and sisters. If you really understand that, in the church, we will not be fighting with one another. But you understand the real war, the real fight is in the spiritual realm. That's why we can't blame people for the strongholds that we are that's in us. You see, people cannot make something a stronghold. They can set you up for a stronghold, to make it a stronghold, because what makes a stronghold, it has got to do with your mind. People cannot force you into stronghold. Listen this. No one can force you into a stronghold. It's like a man says that my wife forced me or caused me to beat up her. No, she didn't. She didn't ask you to beat up her. But probably she sets you up because against your lack of self-control, because there's this stronghold of anger inside of you, and that's why you react that way. What I'm trying to say is your wife or your husband or the people around you cannot bring this stronghold in your life. So quit blaming people. Turn to your neighbor and say, quit blaming people. Quit blaming people. The church needs to come to understanding this warfare is not because someone didn't shake my hand. This warfare is not because someone gossiped about me. This warfare is not because someone pulled it down. No, it's happening in the spiritual realm, and God has given the authority to break this stronghold. And that's what we're going to be learning today. Now, what is a stronghold? Listen to this very carefully, all right? A stronghold is what you capture in your mind. In another word, a stronghold is a mindset or a value system or a thought process that hinders your growth in the Lord. One more time. A stronghold, listen to this very carefully, is a mindset or a value system or a thought process that hinders you from growing in the Lord. Another word is a stronghold is a stubborn disposition. It's a very stubborn thing, a stubborn disposition. I like what David Mickelson said. He, you know, how many of you know who David Mickelson here? You know, he one of the famous author of the book called The Cross and the Switchblade, and he's the founder of the Times Square Church. And he put it in a very nice way in understanding what stronghold is. Let me read it out to you. Mickelson said, all right, most of us think of stronghold as bondages, as sexual trespasses, drug addiction, alcoholism, and other sins. But Paul is referring here to something much worse than our human measuring of sin. A stronghold is an accusation. Listen to this. A stronghold is an accusation firmly planted in the mind of, in our mind by Satan. Listen, to implant lies into our mind, falsehood and misconception, especially concerning the identity of who you are in the Lord. What is David Mickelson trying to explain? He's trying to expand what Paul said. What Paul is trying to say, all the stronghold that you build inside of you, that you feel that you're struggling, probably some of you are sitting here, you feel addicted. Probably some of you feel that you're so fearful, you're so scared, you feel so lonely, you feel so rejected. It's like a stronghold. And all these things comes by the accusation and the lie of the enemy. And that's what stronghold is. A stronghold will affect what you think, listen this, will affect what how you feel, will affect how you behave, and then it will develop into a pattern in your life. For example, if the devil comes and lies to you and says that you are alone, you are not loved, then you begin to think, oh, I'm alone. No one loves me. No one sees me. I come to church, no one sees me. I'm alone. No one loves me. No one cares for me. You think. And how do you feel? What do you feel? You will constantly feel that you are lonely. Am I right? You think about it, and then you will feel that you are lonely. You will feel that no one cares. And then what's the behavior? Most of the time when you feel lonely, the behavior is you run away from large crowds. Some of you who go through loneliness, the behavior is you will overeat. How many of you experienced that? You feel when no one loves you, in the middle of the night, you open the fridge, you whack your ice cream, you whack your Coca-Cola and all that, you will tend to overeat. Some of us, in fact, most of us, what we will do is, when we listen to this lie, we think about the lie, we feel about the lie, and then the behavior comes is what? Most young people, what they will do is, they will begin to express it by going to see things that they're not supposed to see. That's the reason when you ask a lot of people, why do you watch pornography? Why do you masturbate? Why do you go sleep around? Oh, pastor, because I was lonely. No one cares about me. No one loves me. So therefore, that's why I go and search something that will satisfy me. How many of you understand that? It will always start because of what you think. And what you think will produce the result of your action. And when you have that behavior, it becomes a pattern of life. What's the pattern of life? It's a cycle that you keep doing it over and over and over again. How many of you are involved in certain addiction or certain stronghold that you want to give up? You say, God, I want to give up today. Tomorrow you get back to it again. Right? Does it make sense? God, I want to do this. God, I want to give up. God, I want to let go of this stronghold. But then you realize that you go back into it even more worse, because this stronghold in your mind has not been settled yet. So this morning, we want to come to a point and settle this stronghold so that the church can move forward, so that the Holy Spirit can take the church forward, and so that we can experience the revival of God. Now, this is not a message to scare you, please. Rather, this is a message of God's grace. Why? The fight, you don't have to do the fight. He has already fought the battle. You are already, you have already walked in victorious thing. The only thing is we need to understand how can we come out from this mindset? Now, let me give you an encouragement. As you're listening to me, probably you're afraid. Sounds like a demon and all that. Let me tell you something. This will blow up your mind. Believers, true believers, true disciple of Jesus, anyone who is in Christ cannot be demon-possessed. Stay with me. Anyone who is in Christ, who is in Jesus, as long as you accept Jesus in your life, you say, Jesus, you are my God, you cannot be demon-possessed. Why do I say so? How many of you remember Jesus was saying, I will leave a spirit behind you, and he will be your helper, and he will be with you, what? Forever. How can having the Holy Spirit inside of you
and having another party living inside of you.
Cannot. So therefore, we all are clear. We cannot be demon possessed, but, turn to them and say, but. But we can be influenced by the demonic accusation. We cannot be demon possessed, but we can be influenced by the demonic accusation. All right? So you get that, all right? So turn to the neighbor, look them in the eyes, and say, you're not possessed. No kidding. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Some of you wives are taking this opportunity and say, yes, you are possessed, right? I know. Don't do that. Now let's learn next, all right? So we learn what stronghold is biblically, theologically. We have learned what stronghold is. You know, why did Paul address this issue? Now let's come to the best part of it. How can we overcome this stronghold in our life? Right? We got the definition, all right? Now, how can we overcome the strongholds in our life? Number one, to overcome the strongholds in our life, number one, you need to remember the position in Christ. Remember your position in Christ. Remember your identity in Christ. This is very simple statement, a very easy statement, but if you really understand this statement, boy, you will go very far. Because this is one thing that the devil is very afraid. When men, when sons and daughters walk under the anointing of the identity who they are in Christ, the demons will get trembled. The Satan will get trembled because our identity in Christ, later on I'll talk about it, our identity in Christ is far more powerful and far more greater than the plans and the accusation of the enemy. Come on, people of God, somebody say amen, please. Remember your position in Christ. This small statement can set you up on the road of deliverance. Now, deliverance is not like what you always see when someone pray of you and you get demon possessed, you want me and all that. No, deliverance can be setting you free from bondages, setting you free without you even going all the shouting. Do you know that even in your room, the Lord can deliver you? Come on, how many of you need that kind of deliverance? Don't put up your hand. But I feel this is a season the Lord is causing a waves of deliverance will come upon His people, that we will no longer be under the captivity of the devil. Oh, my friend, the reason why you are not moving forward, the reason why you can't love your spouse, the reason why you can't see the calling of God in the children's life, because we are under the captivity of the devil. And today, that's a lie. That's a lie. I want to take you out of the lie to see that you are not just under the captivity of the Satan, but you are captivated by God's presence. You are captivated by God's love. Come on. You are captivated by God's grace. You are captivated by God's faithfulness. You are captivated by God's long suffering over you. Come on, people of God. Remember your position in Christ. This is the most crucial solution for you to break the strongholds in your life. That's why in the book of Romans chapter 12 verse 2, it will say here. Romans 12 2, it will say that for you to be transformed. Romans 12 2. And do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Listen to this. By what? By renewing of the mind. Now listen here carefully. Here clearly when you see this, you will understand. For us to be transformed, there must be a renewal of mind. Very clear cut. You want to change? You want a breakthrough? You want to be transformed? There must be a renewal of mind. Why Paul constantly talked about renewal of mind? Because Paul understood that's when the devil will begin to play his PlayStation in your mind. That's when he'll begin to play all kind of games, all kind of gimmicks in your mind. Because he knows that he can attack what's inside of you. Because what's inside of you is greater, greater, greater. The one who lives inside of you is Jesus. But when the mind is empty, when the mind entertains the noises and the accusation of the devil, then he has a footstool on it, and he knows when he controls the mind, your behavior, your outcome, the way you respond toward it, it will all collapse. So he's after the mind, and Paul is saying, renew your mind. Now, let's study this a little bit, all right? What does it mean to renew your mind? Now, if you really look carefully, when Paul says renew, the word renew means going back into something, right? It's not saying have a new mind. He doesn't have a new mind. But he says renew your mind, like how we renew our Rotax, right? Something that was already there, but it expired. Hello? Stay with me. Something that was already established. Something that's already given to you, but now it's expired. Now it has lost its full benefit. Why? Now, let's look, what does the word renew mean in Greek? the original word of in Greek, the word renew means anakoino. Anakoino means, listen this, to resume. I love this. To resume to an original position after an interruption. What Paul is saying, renew your mind. What Paul is saying is, go back to the original place of where God has designed you to be. Go back to the original identity after interruption. What's interruption? The interruption could be sin. The interruption could be the bondages. The interruption could be the strongholds in your life. So any time when you have this interruption, Paul is saying, renew your mind, renew your mind. Renew your mind means go back, go back. Go back to who you are. Go back, follow back to your identity. Go back to who God has created you to be. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6, he says a powerful verse. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6, and raise us up. We have been raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly place in Christ. When Paul is saying, renew your mind, go back to the original position. What's your position? That you sit in the heavenly places together with Christ. Come on, people of God. That's who you are. You are raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly place with Jesus Christ. Now, can you imagine this? Probably you're sitting here, you feel that you're not good enough. Probably you're sitting here, you feel that, you know, you got all this addiction going on. You know, you feel so bad about you. You feel so guilty and condemned. That's not my God. Even though you go through wrong things, even though you got strongholds in your life, your position in Christ will never be shaken. Your position in Christ will never be snatched away. No matter how the devil will lie to you and say that you are smelly, you are dirty, you are not good enough, you are sinful and all that thing, it can never take your position in Christ. And your position is you sit in the heavenly realms. We are sitting in Antioch Hall. Sounds so holy, right? So we name it Antioch, it sounds so holy. You sit in the heavenly realms. What does it mean? It means, now listen this. What does it mean to sit in the heavenly realms? Stay with me. When the Bible said you are sitting in the heavenly realms, it means now, listen carefully. This will blow your mind. You have a legal authority over the angelic realms. You have now, you have a legal authority of the, I just burped. You have a legal authority over the spiritual realm. What does it mean? It means whenever the devil will come to you and say, you are such a loser. You are such an addictive person. You can never come out from your addiction. You can never come out from your bondage. When you know that you have a legal authority because you sit with Christ, you will tell them, hey, Satan, you don't know who I am. I am a son and a daughter of God. You may say whatever you want, but I sit in the heavenly realms. You know, I may be weaker, but I know my victory is coming. I may be in a bondage, but I know that the Lord is bringing miracles and breakthrough in my life. That's what it means, that you have a legal authority in Christ. How many of you have watched football before? We all watch football. How many of you are Liverpool supporters here? You will definitely go to heaven. Listen to this carefully. If you watch football, they all will be very aggressive. They all will be playing, right? Especially United players. Because they are the Red Devils. They'll be very, you know, people are very aggressive. They look strong, muscular, they are fast. But when you look at the referee sometimes they have a little bit stummy, right? Sometimes when they run, they will, you know, trip someone and run. But imagine a player go and accidentally or purposely go and hit the referee. The referee will immediately take something from his pocket and point a red card. Imagine, there are 11 plus 11, how many of them there? 22 of them. And none of them has the authority to control over the referee. But the referee has a full control, legal authority, because FIFA has given them the authority. If the player does misbehave, if a player says vulgarity, all you need to do is take out the card and point it out to them, and they have to go out from the pitch. They may be small, they may be weaker, they may look shorter than other players, but they have a legal authority. All they need to do is take up the card. My friend, believers and Christian, you have a red card in inside of you as well. The red card is the blood of Jesus. Whenever the devil comes knocking at your door, take the red card. Beep, out you go. Come on, people of God. Now, everybody, take your hand and put it in your pocket and see whether you got the red card or not. Probably you got an ATM card. You got a legal authority. Today, the devil has robbed that from you. Think that you got no authority. Think that only pastors and leaders have the authority. Hello? Whoever accepts Jesus Christ, you are all, we all equal and sit in the heavenly realms. When you understand that, my friend David, every stronghold, every yoke, every high thing shall come tumbling down, people of God. Remember your position in Christ. Today you're sitting someone who sits in the heavenly realm. Look at your face. You don't believe her? You're sitting beside someone who sits in the heavenly realm. What does it mean? Paul says you're seated above, high in the heavenly realms. It simply means you have been elevated higher than Satan in Christ. You have been elevated higher than the bondage. Ah, come on, somebody talk to me, please. You have been elevated higher than the stronghold. You've been elevated higher than your addiction. You've been elevated higher than your fear. You've been elevated higher than your anxiety. You've been elevated higher than your depression. You are seated heavily ramped, and Satan now is below you. Know that, church. Let's come back to our identity. If he who knows his identity in Christ, the way you respond to strongholds and problems and challenges will be different. You no longer be begging from God, but you'll be having this faith and you'll be walking under this victory of God. Somebody say amen, please. How many of you are with me so far? Remember your position in Christ. Now, number two. In order to break the strongholds in your life, 2 points and then we are done, all right? Easy one. Don't want to bring another stronghold to you. Too many. Second one, resist the devil. Number one, what's number one? Let's start. Remember your identity. Remember your position in Christ. Second thing is to resist the devil. James chapter 4 verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. Listen to this. Resist the devil and what? He will flee from you. This is a clear cut. It's saying here, James is saying, resist the devil and what? He will what? He will flee. He will run away from you. You need to resist him. Resist him. Now, stay there. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. The last part, it says that the devil walks around like a what? Roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's like a roaring lion. Like a roaring lion. He's not a lion. Who's the real lion? He is the lion and the lamb. His name is Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says he's like a roaring. That's what the devil will do. He will try to imitate, try to lie to people. I'm like the lion. Clear cut, like a roaring lion. A roaring lion only can roar you. And what he says is seeking whom he may eat up. Probably some aspects in your life, you may feel, you know, that the devil has devoured your family. You may feel that the devil's has eaten up your dignity, has eaten up your calling, has eaten up the plans of God in your life. My friend, I have a good news for you in verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 9 now. Listen to this. Resist him. Who's that him? Not your neighbor, okay? Satan. Resist him steadfast in faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Now listen here. Here again, the author is saying, resist him. Now, the question here is, Pastor, how then do we resist him? The Bible said, resist him. How do you resist him? Stand up. Hey, resist you. Go. Let's see what does it mean. How do we resist him? How many of you remember the story when Jesus was with Satan in the wilderness for 40 days? When Jesus was 40 days, 40 nights in the wilderness, the Satan came and said, okay, Jesus, you are hungry. Turn this stone into bread. And Jesus said, it is written in the word that man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then the devil was like, okay, cannot. Okay, bring him up to the temple. And what happened? Say, jump out, jump off. so that the angels will come and save you. And then again, Jesus said, it is written, do not put your Lord, your God into test. Satan got angry. Third one, bring up to the highest mountain. Look down at the Roman Empire and all this world. And Satan said, I will give it to you. Just bow down and worship me. Again, Jesus said, it is written that we should only worship the Lord your God. Now, and then the Satan got very disappointed and upset, packed his bag. Sorry, he went on. Now, what makes the devil run away? What bothers the devil? Because every time when you recite the spoken word of God, every time when the spoken word of God comes out from your mouth, the devil has to pack his bags and he has to flee away, because the devil hates the spoken word of God, because the spoken word of God has power, has liberty, has freedom, has healing, has breakthrough. That's the reason why even Jesus said, Jesus could have just smiled at him. Powerful, right? But Jesus said, it is written. Whenever the devil will come and accuse you, you tell him, I am more than a conqueror. You tell him that I can do all things to Christ who strengthened me. You begin to tell him the word of God. But remember this, take this note. You cannot quote what you don't know. Smile at me, please. You cannot say something that you don't know. That's why Jesus said, it is written. Why he said it is written? Because Jesus knew the scripture. For you to resist the devil, you need to know the scripture. You need to know the spoken word of God. Today, many of us are battling in our bondage, battling in our family, battling in our nation, because we don't know the spoken word of God. It's very sad. It's tragedy, because the Bible is everything is there. How to do family is there. How to raise up your kids is there. How to treat your wife is there. How to love your wife is there. How to love God is there. Every instruction and command is there in the Bible. For you to resist the devil, the most powerful thing besides knowing your identity is to know the word of God. Come on, people of God. That's how you resist the devil. You resist him by the spoken word of the Lord. And you cannot go on when strongholds comes to you and problem comes to you. This is what Pastor Rajan says. This is what Pastor Sebastian said on a Sunday morning. You need to know the word yourself. We are living in the age, you know, the Lord is coming. There's a lot of challenges going on. We need to come to a point in developing a love towards the word of God. My friend, this is everything. You see those who know the word of God and live according to the word of God, you see their life. The devil will come knocking at your door, but they will not be terrified. They will not be shaken. They will not be moved, because the word of God is inside of you. The word of God is like a reaction, you know. Whenever anything comes along your way, the arrows, the enemy may throw arrows at you, but the word of God is like a shield. Ding! The word of God is like an arrow. The word of God is like a strong tower. And all, on top of all this thing, I'm talking about stronghold, right? We're talking about bondages. How many of you know there is another stronghold? Sorry, before I get there into that, I just want to identify two strongholds the Lord has laid in my heart, in my life. Not in my life now, right now. Probably there's some of you sitting here, there's these two strongholds that we need to identify. Number one is the stronghold of bitterness. I don't know why it just came to my mind right now. And the root cause of bitterness is self-hatred. The root cause of bitterness is self-justification. Let me just tell you how. How many of you today, you are bitter inside of you, don't put up your hand? The root cause is because you develop a self-hatred upon yourself. The reason? Because you hate yourself so much that the outcome of it is bitterness. And that's the reason why anybody do anything to you, you feel like they hate you. Because why? You are struggling to understand the love of God over your life. You're struggling to understand that you know that you are valuable and you have a self-worth. Self-justification. What is self-justification? How many of you have heard this? The people say, oh, my dad is poor, so that I'll become poor. Oh, my dad has this addiction as an alcoholic, so that I also become an alcoholic. You self-justify and believe what has happened in your forefathers, what has happened in your family line, it will come to you. My friend, in the book of 2 Corinthians, right, chapter 5, verse 17, I think, it says, he who's in Christ is a what? Is a new creation. Today, let me just change your mindset. Is that okay? Can I change your mindset? You know, I understand how DNA works. I'm not saying it's a lie. No, this is how DNA works. If there's a diabetic condition, you know, along in your DNA, you know, there's a high chances that you so will have. That's how DNA works. But we have another DNA. We have another report that says that he who is in Christ is a new creation. Listen to this. The old has passed away and the new has come. Therefore, what does it mean? If your father has diabetic, if your mother has kidney problem, it will not come upon you. Because you know why? You are a new creation and there's only new things inside of you. The reason why today we have a lot of sickness and all that because we believe, we self-justify, because my father has it, so no, you know, it's a very common thing. I have it, doctor, please treat me. Oh, come out from that mindset. Come out from the legality and know that you are a new creation. If you don't come out from it, you will constantly be bitter. And you know what bitterness does? You come to church, probably someone didn't shake your hands because they were busy. Everybody don't like me. You conclude have you seen like that? Everybody don't like you. You mean everybody? We got about 100 of them don't like you. One person will never shake their hands. Hello, please. Because of bitterness, we need to break that. God is going to break that. I feel that God is going to set you free. Second, very important. The bond is the stronghold of unforgiveness. I'm not so sure about where. I think in Matthew chapter 5 verse 23 onwards, it says that. Is it true? Matthew chapter 5 verse 23 onwards. It says that. Settle with your brother first. Something like that. Settle with your brother first. And then you bring your offering, your gifts on the altar. What you bring to the altar, if there's unforgiveness inside of you, let me tell you something, it's no use. Why I'm saying this is because I feel that the Lord wants to set people who has unforgiveness inside of you. Unforgiveness will eat you up, my friend. Let me tell you. Unforgiveness, you know what happened? Let's say I can't forgive Derek. You know what happens? He will move on in his life. But I will be under the captivity and I will be in the prison and constantly I'll be bitter, constantly I'll be hurtful and I will not be moving forward. My destiny will be destroyed. My calling will be destroyed. The way I do life will be destroyed. The person that you can't forgive got no problem. He will move on in his life. He'll be eating bakute and biryani and he'll be having a good life. But you, on the other hand, because of unforgiveness, you can't move forward. My friend, I know, I understand some people can hurt you in many ways. It's pain, it's hurtful, but you need to understand there's another one who is on the cross. He took all our pain and all our shame, and he's able to forgive you. If he's able to forgive you, what's the problem of you forgiving your brothers and sisters? Church, if today you're sitting here with unforgiveness, God is not judging you, but God's grace is coming upon you, and God is asking you to release that person. Come on, release them. I strongly sense, release the person. As you release that person, you see what can come in your life. You see how God can come through. I remember Pastor Betty shared this. Let me just refresh your mind. I remember she shared that in the past, she was praying and all that, and suddenly God gave you a vision about a teacher. Yeah, correct? Right? A teacher who said something, I think, or beat you up or what? Beat you up, make a stand on the chair. How many of you have been stood on the chair because your teacher asked you to? Table. Pastor Rajan, I think every week, You know? And then I think she was sad and all that. And then she, after many, many years, right, she was praying and the Holy Spirit revealed to her that incident. And I think you called the teacher, right? She called the teacher and she said, I forgive you. And immediately there was this pain or sickness. It left you immediately, right? Because the asthma thing, all right? It left her because she released forgiveness. Huh? See how powerful, how unforgiveness can eat you up? It eats up even your health. It even eats up the way you perceive and do life. So today, if you have a brother here or a sister here that you can't forgive, don't do it now. Let the people know. after you go back, hug them and say, brother, I forgive you. Come on, listen to this. He who forgives, a lot of us, we can't forgive because we think, what? No. Oh, you know, if I forgive, it makes me look very small. No. If you learn how to forgive, you are a hero, not a zero. a real strong man, a strong woman is able to face up the person that they don't like and said, I forgive you, my brother. I forgive you, my sister. No matter what you have done in my life, I forgive you and I love you. That's the real hero in Christ. There's nothing covered about it. Come on. It's a lie again. Amen. If you do forgive, you are covered. You have lost, they have won. My friend, that's how the world teach you. Change that mindset. It's a stronghold. Come on, stand up to your feet, please. How many of you are blessed with this word? I feel maybe there's some strongholds I didn't address today, but you know. Today, I wanted to lift up both of your hands to Jesus right now. Can we get, the keyboardist and the worship team? We're going to sing this song again. I'm going to see a victory. For some reason, for many years, you may be living in the bondage or stronghold. But I have a good news for you. There's another stronghold that we can hold on to. There's another fortress that we can hold on to. Psalms 18 verse 2 says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. Some version will say, and my stronghold and my deliverer. My God, my strength in whom I will trust. Listen to this. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. God is removing every stronghold of the enemy and He's causing him to be the stronghold in your life. Come on, God is our fortress where we can lean on, where we can hide in. Come on, lift up your hands, come on. Begin to tell God, God, you be my stronghold. Send me free. Send me free, Father. Come on, you pray for yourself. God, set me free. Set me free, come on. Set my mind free. Set my mind free. Rakatalaba sandai. Before we take communion, this is what we're going to do. I want you to take your right hand, put it on your head. Prophetically. Can we just pray in the Spirit, all of us, without the music? Can we just, come on, raise up your voice if you can pray in the Spirit. Come on, lift up your voice. Come on, every high thing will come down. Come on, let God set you free this morning. Come on, lift up your voice. Every chain will be broken. Anything that's not of you, Lord, in my mind, let it be gone. Let it be gone. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name.